This is Kathy coming to you with the Record Herald News, which serves the counties of Douglas, Macon, Moultrie, and Piatt. And it is Valentine's Day today, so happy Valentine's Day. And starting with the first page, Bement and Cerro Gordo Co-op Agreement is back on the table. Bement CUSD No. 5 held a special board meeting on Saturday, January the 8th, for the sole purpose of providing an overview of recent conversations, research, and to gauge the board's stance on moving forward with the cooperative agreements with Cerro Gordo. The goal is to finalize these details before the week's upcoming February 12th board meeting. Superintendent Mary Vogt stated, "I want to highlight the positive connections and collaborations between the districts, including sharing a band director and combining music events. Cerro Gordo's FFA teacher comes to Bement, and our industrial art teacher goes to Cerro Gordo. In the fall of 2022, Cerro Gordo students participating in Bement's homecoming parades and vice versa, and combined dances for junior high students were also introduced." She went on to say that the goal to continue building these positive connections and ensure a collaborative approach to co-op agreements. Superintendent Vogt presented an overview, including the history of these agreements starting 12 years ago, the different individuals involved in these discussions over the years, and the timeline of recent discussions. Back on January 3rd, both administrators, athletic directors, and superintendents met and reviewed feedback from surveys sent to both school boards and agreed on adding eligibility guidelines to the cooperative agreements. They discussed details, which included adding students from Bement to the golf team, cross-country uniform, sharing costs, the contradiction in the banquet schedules, and ensuring free admission and tax benefits for school board members. Additionally, they addressed inconsistencies in admission prices and official pay across different events and schools, aiming to standardize those practices in a joint coach's handbook. During that first joint meeting, concerns were also discussed, including insufficient practices for middle school cross-country and middle school boys basketball, along with the game cancellations for softball. Cerro Gordo then proposed taking responsibility for boys and girls basketball and volleyball at the middle school level and hiring and paying coaches for all sports except cross-country. Vogt then asked if they could come back to the table on this unexpected proposal from them, stating that it required a re-evaluation and added Bement had some other ideas to incorporate, including monthly administrative meetings, an annual coaches evaluation, and one joint coaches meeting. It was agreed by both schools to just sit tight at the end of the meeting. The next meeting took place on January 28th when Superintendent Dr. Emily Widener and Superintendent Vogt met to discuss Diane Durbin being hired as the new athletic director at Mount Zion, changing the scope for Cerro Gordo. The two also discussed the proposals, which included a joint coaches handbook and combined meetings, consistent fees and pay rates, and Cerro Gordo handling all the scheduling. The proposal aimed to ensure that no changes to the number of games, uniforms, or mascots. The coach's handbook was created by the Bement AD, Christy Sweet, based on other districts, and it aims to strengthen expectations and ensure consistency across all sports. Sweet also presented to the board at Saturday's meeting participation numbers for various sports, showing a mix of even and uneven numbers between the two schools. The numbers included breakdowns by grade level and specific sports such as softball, baseball, girls and boys basketball, and volleyball. The data will help inform future planning and ensure balanced participation across both schools. The board was informed of Cerro Gordo's recent meeting with Ocal Valley to explore co-op options for football following Sullivan's decision to dissolve their co-op agreement with Ocal Valley. Vogt outlined the current classification system for high school sports, noting that Cerro Gordo Bement is a Class 1A school with an enrollment of 181. If CGB and Ocal Valley were to continue, they would be a Class 2A school with an enrollment of 389. She also told the board that the current classification system is undergoing a two-year cycle evaluation, with updated numbers expected in March. To date, there has been no decision on Ocal Valley becoming a part of the co-op. Board member Janice Fogerson stated the importance of maintaining a positive relationship with Cerro Gordo. The board approved the following outline of the proposal from Bement in response to Cerro Gordo's request to begin hiring and paying for coaches at all middle school and high school sports except cross country. It is the desire of BEMET to create opportunities for increased communication and collaboration through cooperative agreements to ensure representation for students in both districts from the hiring of coaches through the conclusion of each season. Intergovernmental agreement for administrators of the IESA and IHSA cooperative athletic teams. Sports play a vital role in the educational journey of our students, offering invaluable opportunities to develop skills that extend far beyond the playing field. Through participation in athletics, students learn essential life lessons such as work ethic, teamwork, perseverance, problem-solving, communication, goal-setting, and resilience. The cooperative agreements between Cerro Gordo, CUSD 100, and BEMET, CUSD No. 5, benefit students at both districts by fostering positive relationships and friendships that contribute to their personal growth and overall success. In addition to the stipulations and conditions outlined in the joint intergovernmental agreements submitted to the IESA and IHSA, each district agrees to the following items for the administration of the cooperative agreements. 1. CBG Coaches Handbook. A CBG Coaches Handbook will be implemented beginning with the 2025-26 school year. The handbook will be reviewed annually by the athletic directors and the MSHS administration for any necessary changes and or updates. The handbook will be presented to each district school board annually for approval. 2. Annual Coaches Meeting. The AD and administration from each district will hold a joint meeting for all coaches prior to the start of the school year to review rules, standards, and expectations. 3. Monthly administrative meetings. The AD and the administration from each district will meet monthly to review the status of the cooperative agreements, discuss any concerns, and collaborate on coach evaluations as seasons come to an end. Twice a year, a board member from each district will also attend the regularly scheduled monthly meetings. 4. Fees and official rate of pay. Student fees, entry fees, family passes, and official rates of pay will be the same for both districts. If a change in fees or official rates of pay is necessary, the AD and administration from both districts will submit a request to their respective superintendent for approval. 5. Coach hiring and employment responsibilities. Cerro Gordo, CUSD No. 100 School Board shall, with the concurrent vote of the BEMET CUSD No. 5 School Board, employ, upon recommendations of a hiring committee, and assign the following positions. Oh my gosh, there's a long list of these. High school football, high school cross country, cheerleading, volleyball, boys basketball, girls basketball, school baseball, school softball, boys track, girls track. And in the middle schools, softball, baseball, girls cross country, boys cross country, cheerleading, girls basketball, boys basketball, volleyball, and boys and girls track. The hiring committee shall have equal representation from each school in the cooperative and be made up of Cerro Gordo Middle School High School Principal and the BEMET Middle School High School Principal or a designee appointed by the principals. The hiring committees will complete interviews, come to a consensus, and recommend a candidate to Cerro Gordo and BEMET. Volunteer coaches for all sports must be approved in the same manner. All volunteer coaches must have appropriate IESA, IHSA required certification and will be subject to criminal background check and employee history review. Coaches may be terminated at will at any time with or without notice or cause as long as the committees come to a consensus on the termination. 6. Required documentation, permission, forms, and fees. Prior to participation in any practice, each student athlete must have all the required forms, documentation, and fees on file with their school of attendance. Fees must be paid prior to the first contest at the student athlete's home school. BEMET will communicate when requirements for each student athlete have been met with the Cerro Gordo School District, AD. 7, scheduling responsibilities. The Cerro Gordo AD is responsible for scheduling all games and practices, ensuring compliance with the minimum number of games allowed by IESA and IHSA. Collaboration will take place with BEMET AD for the coordination of the facility availability for games and practices. BEMET will host 2/3 of the middle school contests, and Cerro Gordo will host 2/3 of the high school contests unless otherwise agreed upon by the AD and administration of both districts and stated as such by the individual sport joint agreement. The Cerro Gordo AD schedules all officials. They will share all schedules and names of officials with PAMET. Transportation. The Cerro Gordo AD is responsible for all transportation requests with Birch Bus Service Incorporated at the beginning of each season, at the start of each week, and notifies the appropriate bus service office in the event of changes to the shared transportation schedule. All of the same information will be shared with the CGCUSD. Transportation costs associated with high school contests and practices. BAMET CUSD will be responsible for transportation costs associated with middle school contests and practices. Number 9. Name or the mascot of the middle school sports will be known as the CGB Bulldogs, with the official colors being purple and white. High school sports will be known as the CGB Broncos, with the official colors being orange and blue. Number 10. Game contest host school responsibilities. The AD from the host school for game contest is responsible for preparing cash boxes and overseeing concessions, handling the game setup, processing payments for officials and ticket takers, and providing supervision within their district. Number 11, the athletic code of conduct. The AD and administration from each district will meet annually to review the athletic code of conduct to ensure consistent enforcement across both districts. The athletic code of conduct will be included in the student handbook for annual approval by the Board of Education in each district. Weather-related cancellations. In the event of inclement weather, the administration from both school districts, not coaches, will make the final decisions regarding weather-related cancellations of contests and/or practices. Number 13, calendar. The administration of each school district shall do its best to develop a coordinated school calendar. Fundraising. All fundraisings involving the sports cooperative must be approved by the AD and administrative committee. Chain of command. Athletes, parents, and interested parties are required to use the following steps when addressing issues involving the cooperative. A, the coach. B, the athletic directors. C, the administration. D, superintendents. And E, school boards. Conflict resolution. A process for conflict resolution relative to issues arising between schools during the term of this agreement will be developed by the administration of both districts. And 17, evaluation of the cooperative. The AD and administration of both school districts shall cooperatively evaluate the programs under this agreement at least annually and submit their evaluation reports to the boards of education of each school district. The focus was on maintaining a collaborative and structured approach to the co-op agreements to benefit all students, and the goal is to finalize the co-op agreements by August 1, 2025, with a board meeting in March to take final action. And the paper is big on sports today. The next article is about the ALAH boys rally from 13 down in the fourth to nip Tri-County 62-61. Oh, that was a good game. And this was written by Mike Monahan. The Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond boys basketball team snapped a four-game losing streak with a thrilling 62-61 over Tri-County as they outscored the Titans 18-4 in the fourth to win by 1 point. Saturday, the Knights traveled to Mount Pulaski and lost 52-44. Arthur is 6-19 overall and 2-5 in the Lincoln Prairie Conference, good for 7th place in the LPC. Earlier in the week, the Knights lost a 74-33 non-conference game at Meridian on Friday, and ALAH dropped a 57-43. The LPC game to Cumberland on February 4th at Arthur, Mount Pulaski 52, ALAH 44. ALAH drove over an hour and fell behind 17-9 after the first quarter. However, the Knights tied the Hilltoppers at 25 at the break. The Knights took a 35-31 lead heading into the final quarter when Mount Pulaski won by outscoring ALAH 21-9 in the fourth in an 8-point win for the Hilltoppers, who improved to 13-13. Colin Smith led ALAH with 14, including 10 in the first half. Kendall Schrock made 4 three-pointers for the Knights in scoring 13 points. Will Hilgoss was also in double digits with 10. ALAH, Tri-County 61. Tri-County, who fell to 11-15 overall and a 2-6 in the conference, good for 11th place, appeared to have things well in hand, leading 57-44 heading into the fourth. The Titans, who finished third in the conference tournament despite being the No 12 seed still led 59-49 with 5:48 left. ALAH's defense forced several turnovers and made it a two-point game on a three-pointer by Hillegas with 1:40 left. Garrett Pollock made one of two free throws for the Titans and a 61-58 advantage. Hillegas scored the last 4 points of the game, including a putback with 10 seconds left for the game winner. The Titans got a good shot off but missed, giving the Knights the big win. Tri-County was led in scoring by Pollock, Chase Rode, and Clay Kibler with 15, 15, and 12 points, respectively. Hillegas led all players with 21, including 15 in the second half and 8 in the fourth. Kendall Schrock, Nate Hale, and Colin Smith were all double digits with 11, 11, and 10 points, respectively. Hale scored 8 in the third period. Meridian 74, ALAH 33. Meridian jumped out to a 24-4 lead after the opening quarter and led 43-18 at the half. 11 of the 15 members of ALAH scored at least 2 points, and most was 6 by Smith. Cumberland 57, ALAH 43. Again, it was first quarter woes that cost the Knights. At Cumberland led 19-6. The Pirates outscored Arthur 38-37 in the final 3 periods to win by 14. Zach Harmon scored 10 of his 13 points in the first half for Cumberland, while Cameron Rodel scored 9 of his 13 in the first half, and Chase Stewart had all 11 of his points in the first half. Schrock hit three three-pointers and led ALAH with 11 points. Saturday at Mount Pulaski, ALAH 9-44. And Mount Pulaski, 17-21-52. Okay, let's see what else we can find here. And a nice picture of head coach Kenny Parks showing him presenting the Knights senior Kendall Schrock with an award. The plaque was to recognize Kendall as an all-tournament selection in the St. Teresa High School Christmas tournament that was played back in December. Says, congratulations, Kendall. And for the girls, by Mike Monahan. After picking up a convincing 60-12 Lincoln Prairie Conference game over Villa Grove, the Knights of Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond fell to Marshall in a non-conference game 52-33 and returned to conference action Thursday against Tri-County and lost 39-26. ALAH entered Monday's game at Ocala Valley with a 12-15 overall record. The Knights are 5-5 in the conference, good for fifth place. Tri-County 39, ALAH 26. Tri-County led just 20-12 at halftime, and it was 28-21 heading into the final period before the Lady Titans outscored ALAH 11-5 in the fourth quarter to win by 13. Sophie Montz, a sophomore for the Knights, led the way with 12 points, while Addison Yackel had 8 of the 25 rebounds. ALAH dominated the boards 25-16 in the loss. ALAH struggled shooting as they were at 22%. 9 of 41 compared to 14 of 39, which was almost 40% for Tri-County, who improved to 14-13 overall and 7-3 in the conference, good for fourth place. The Lady Titans were helped by just 8 turnovers, while they forced 20 ALAH turnovers. Marshall 52, ALAH 33. In a contest between the two class 2A teams, Marshall led ALAH 21-9 at the half and increased the lead to 38-17 after 3 quarters. Marshall improved to 15-10 with the win. Morgan Castile led the Knights with 9 points in a game where the Lady Lions held the Knights to just 12% from the field. Montz was tops in rebounds with 6 of the team's 30. ALAH Villa Grove 12. The Knights won its 5th game out of 6 contests, jumping out to a 21-3 lead after the opening quarter and outscoring the Lady Blue Devils in every quarter. ALAH led 33-5 at the half. The 12 points was the second lowest by an Arthur opponent, with the first lowest being Ocala Valley with 11 points in a 63-11 ALAH win. Montz led the Knights with 18 points and 7 rebounds. The team had 15 assists and 17 steals in the game. Thursday at Hume, ALAH played Tri-County. ALAH, Morgan Castile and Sophie Montz, McKenna Bowdlaw, Anna Rollins, Mackenzie Condiel, Addison Yackel, Annabelle Vanisdahl, and Sarah Hirschberger. Can't see what the score is here. 26-39, I believe. 3 point goals, ALAH 2 for out of 8. Tri-County 1 of 6. Free throws, ALAH at 50%. Tri-County 10-21. February 4th at Marshall, 11-6. 3 point goals, ALAH 6 of 22. Free throws, 9 of 17. Field goals, 9 of 46 tries. And it looks like 120 rebounds, 7 assists. And let's check some more. I need to get the obituaries in today. This is for Mary Wieging. Mary Wieging was a strong, independent woman who fought and won many hard battles in her long lifetime. But when she was finally called home after 95 years of life, she surrendered peacefully on February 10, 2025. Mary was totally dedicated to her family and her husband James, who preceded her in death on August 1st of 2006. Mary touched many lives with her generosity and her direct, no-nonsense approach to life. In addition, she could always make you smile with her witty humor and quick wit. Mary spent her life working as a seamstress, but it wasn't just a job for Mary, it was a passion, and she would sew just about anything for anyone, many times giving away her work to those in need. Mary was a longtime resident of Villa Grove and retired to Florida with her husband in 1996. After James's death, she moved back to Illinois to be near her children. During the time she lived in Villa Grove, she was a staunch supporter of the community and served as an alderman on the city council for many years. She loved Villa Grove and felt blessed to be able to raise her children in such a close-knit community. You could always expect to hear this when you visited Mary. I love you a bushel and a peck and a hug around the neck, from the 1950s song by Doris Day. A celebration of life in Mass at Sacred Heart Catholic Church has tentatively been set on June 14, 2025. Memorial donations may be made to Tunnels for Flowers Foundation, the Alzheimer's Association, and the Sacred Heart Catholic Church. Doris Neese, born Badger of Gray Summit, Missouri, passed away peacefully on Monday, January 13th, 2025, at the age of 88. Mrs. Neese was born on September 24, 1936, in Illinois. Beloved wife of the late William Neese, loving mother of the late Donna Neese, and son Tony Neese, loving granny to Mark, Megan, and the late Christopher Neese, and many great-grandkids and sister to Connie Lou Helm. She is fondly remembered by her many nieces, nephews, great-nieces, great-nephews, extended family, and countless friends. Doris was deeply loved by all who knew her. Mrs. Neese's desire was to be cremated and buried in Arthur with her husband and daughter at a later date. A memorial service and luncheon at Glenwood Church in Noble, Illinois, on February 15th at 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. Graveside services at Arthur, Illinois, on February 22nd at 10:30 a.m. No formal luncheon is planned, but you're welcome to join family and friends at Yoder's Restaurant after the service. Sarah Hosehauer. Sarah Elizabeth Jones Hosehauer, beloved wife of Brad, precious daughter of David and Jane, adored older sister of Jonathan and Daniel, passed away at 11:31 a.m. Monday, February 3rd at Carl Hospital. Sarah was born on January 20th, 1977 at Jarman Hospital in Tuscola. She attended Tuscola schools and graduated in 1995. She graduated in 1997 from Parkland College and worked many years as a legal assistant in Champaign. She had currently been employed by the Douglas County Circuit Clerk's Office and was a member of the Tuscola Congregation of Jehovah's Witnesses. Sarah was a beautiful person both inside and out. She was smart, creative, funny, and cared so much for all her family, friends, pets, and vacations on the beach at Destin. We all loved her deeply and will miss her very much until we see her again. Services will be at the Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witnesses, 965 Illinois Route 130 in Camargo on Sunday, February 9th, with Rick Hathaway officiating. Memorial will begin at 2 p.m. with visitation starting 1 hour prior. Memorials are suggested to the donor's choice. And now from the Today newspaper for Southern Champaign County. Village of Sydney Board of Trustees discusses the community building and painting, 225 IPWMAN agreement, garbage pickup hours, and more. February 3rd, Village of Sydney Board of Trustees meeting coverage by Ann Roten, news correspondent. The Village of Sydney Board of Trustees met on Monday, February 3rd in the Sydney Community Building meeting room at 7:30 p.m. Village of Sydney President Jason Aaron Smith brought the meeting to order at 7 following the recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance by all. Village of Sydney President Jason Arrowsmith asked if there was any public comment. There was none, and President Arrowsmith moved on to ask trustees if there were any corrections or additions to the Monday, January 6th regular meeting minutes and for a motion to approve them as written, so if they so choose. A motion from Trustee Matt Lawrence, seconded by Trustee Dan Gattican, to approve the Monday, January 6th regular meeting minutes as written, carried. Village of Sydney President Jason Arrowsmith began his comments by reporting that the Village of Sydney Attorney Mark Miller and he had looked over the levy confirmation for 2024 paperwork, found everything to be in order, and that he had signed it. There was a discussion concerning the need for the interior of the Sydney Village Hall, Sydney the Community Building, to be painted, and that semi-gloss paint should have been used when it was painted the first time, took place under President Arrowsmith's comments. A motion from Trustee Matt Laurent, seconded by Trustee Dan Gattican, followed a discussion of the three bids that President Arrowsmith had gotten for President Arrowsmith to spend up to $5,500 to have the Village Hall painted, and that President Arrowsmith should get a few more bids from other companies before making his decision, carried. Discussion concerning 2025 Illinois Public Works Manual Aid Network agreement documents took place under President Arrowsmith's comments. It was noted that the cost to be part of the network is based on population and that Sydney's cost is $100. A motion from Trustee Leroy Schluter, seconded by Trustee Matt Laurent, to pass the resolution 225RIR1 approving the Illinois Public Works Mutual Aid Network agreement documents, carried. Village of Sydney Attorney Mark Miller had nothing to report. Village of Sydney Maintenance Supervisor Jeff Wyatt reported that the village boom truck is in need of repair following discovering a puddle of transmission fluid under the truck when he was taking down the Christmas decorations, and that he is awaiting its being looked at to see what it's going to take to make repairs. Village of Sydney Board Trustee and Finance Chair Donna Hooker gave the finance report. She asked the Village of Sydney Treasurer Ashley Reinhardt if there were any additional bills and was told there were none. A motion from Trustee Hooker, seconded by Trustee Matt Laurent, to pay all of the monthly bills for January with no additions, carried. Village of Sydney Board of Trustee and Sydney Board Trustee and Streets and Alleys Chair Dan Gattican had nothing to report. Village of Sydney Board Trustee and Water and Drainage Chair Brett Harris was not in attendance at the meeting. Village of Sydney President Jason Arrowsmith, on his behalf, reported that the approval of wastewater maintenance policy is tabled to Monday, March 3rd meeting of the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees, as Trustee Harris is waiting on prices from other companies. Village of Sydney Board Trustee and Public Property Chair Tyler Bickers was not in attendance. Village of Sydney Trustee Dan Gattican gave his report by reporting that permit number 797 at a cost of $50 had been issued to a property owner of 103 Wilsey Lane for a fence, and that a permit at a cost of $25 for a chicken coop had been issued to a Sydney property owner. Village of Sydney Board Trustee and Parks and Recreation Chair Matt Laurent reported that T-ball, baseball, and softball sign-ups will take place at the Sydney Village Hall on Wednesday, February 5th from 5 to 7 p.m. and on Saturday, February 8th from 11 to 1. Village of Sydney Board Trustee and Community Development Chair Leroy Schluter led a discussion concerning garbage disposal trucks. Asked them if it could include the restrictions on the hours that they pick up garbage within the village, as some garbage is getting picked up and pretty late at night, and asked fellow board members how they feel about garbage pickup being so late or very early in the morning, as the case may be, and what they could be done about it if they did want to. Village of Sydney Attorney Mark Miller stated that the village could have an ordinance restricting hours, or they could require garbage disposal companies to obtain a license in Sydney that includes restricted hours. Mr. Miller additionally stated that the mayor could call the offending garbage companies that were doing garbage pickup at such late as or early hours and ask them to stop with the very late or early morning pickup. The Village of Sydney Board of Trustees decided to discuss a possible ordinance at their Monday, March 3rd meeting. Village of Sydney President Jason Arrowsmith asked if there was any new and old business, and as there was none, brought the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees meeting to adjournment at 7:24, following a motion from Trustee Leroy Schluter and seconded by Trustee Matt Laurent. The next regular monthly meeting of the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees will take place on Monday, March 3rd at 7 p.m. in the Sydney Community Building located at 211 East Main Street in Sydney. And this is where we need to stop for the day. You have a good week. This is Kathy signing off.